Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing?
I'm warmer this week.
Warmer?
Warmer.
Yeah,
what
it's
was
like 70 degrees now.
Snow flurries on Saturday. What
What's
was that?
That about? 30, 70. That's not good.
I feel like I'm back in Chicago.
I'm from Miami. I like it 80 every day.
You get really grumpy when it's cold.
Yes,
know.
Yes, I do.
You don't own any winter coats. Is that correct? Yeah,
got
to keep warm. We've got a great guest this morning, Lee. You know, it's hard to think about how you can pack so much talent into one room. And this room, by the way, we're outgrowing. I think we need to expand.
Okay, I'm waiting for that
expansion.
Patronage.
Mm-hmm. The expansion plan. Charlie Cummins comes to us today. He's a coach, a consultant, an author, a speaker. He's got all kinds of great interests. He's interested in martial arts. He's got lots of incredible background in the world of clinical psychology and organizational management. But we would love to hear from him. Let him talk a little bit more about his business. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Charlie Cummins.
Well, thank you for having me. It is a beautiful day in Atlanta.
You know, it is, and it's only going to get better.
It is, and being from Minnesota, I can really embrace the early blooms because my family up in Minnesota is freezing today.
And you know, they will be for at least a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so much to look forward to. Things are starting to bloom. Love Atlanta. Love Atlanta. So tell us a little bit about your career and about Trove. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better.
Well, my background, as you mentioned, is primarily in clinical psychology. That's where my career started, and I worked in clinical psychology and hospital administration for years. And then there became a transition many years ago. I guess the best description is moving from the couch to the boardroom, translating those skills into more of the corporate environment and doing executive advisory and corporate advisory. And in that process of transition, we've grown. I partnered with a great psychologist, Ron Young, years ago, and really formed the Trove Agency. And that sort of brings us up to where we are today.
What's the tagline? It's a little interesting. I'd love to know how you came up with that.
Yeah, the tagline is actually, you know, it's a real interesting process when you go through branding a firm for any firm or corporation. And the tagline, we were all sitting down sort of like in that think tank mode of, you know, trying to describe what it is we do and how can we phrase it in a way that people might, you know, that might pique their interest. And we actually had a creative guy sitting with us, Dan Balser from the Creative Circus here in Atlanta, who's like a brilliant wordsmith, copywriter. And he was trying to understand what it is that we do. And, you know, we come from a real psychological background. And, you know, words like wisdom were coming up. And we're like, oh, wisdom, yes, we provide wisdom. But, boy, that's a little lofty, maybe hoity-toity for our work. And then the word insight came out. And it's like, yes, really what we strive to do with our clients is gain insight, you know, through interviewing and the relationship and through testing tools. And so he was noodling on it. And if you've ever really seen a light bulb go off over a guy's head, there was that moment. And he went up to the eraser board and he writes, insight, period, mind and applied. And in his meaning, he wasn't talking about the mind in the brain. He was talking about what you do is you mine for insight with your clients and try and apply it to solutions. And it was like, whoa, aha, that's a great description. That's exactly what we do. You know, we mine for insight. So the extension of that, how we got to the name of our firm, was really, what do you mine for? Well, people mine for gold. You can mine for diamonds. You can mine for coal. And hopefully, if you're mining for something, you're mining for treasure. Mm-hmm. And hopefully what we provide is a trove of treasure to our clients. And Trove kind of just stuck, and it really provokes kind of, you know, different images. I don't know what image it provoked with you.
I'm still thinking about the noodling that made the light bulb go off, to be honest with you. I like the noodling.
It is noodling.
And I like the mind, not, you know, with the ED instead of the mind. I mean, the play on words is brilliant. That's why I had to ask. I wondered, you know, where did that come from? So lots of strategy involved in that, it sounds like.
Yeah, and we do. And I think that, you know, differentiates us what we really strive for. You know, the ultimate goal is to help clients succeed. And in order to do that, we need to really mine and dig and understand the big picture. And, you know, we've got lots of different tools in our bag that allow us to do that. And hopefully we can gain that insight and apply it to solutions for them.
So tell us about some of the tools that differentiate you from other people that do similar types of work?
Well, I think, you know, one thing that differentiates us, it's interesting. If you ask me what I do, like we were just talking about, we are really an executive and corporate advisory firm. And we have a particular expertise in the area of corporate psychology and how that applies to individual and team leadership. So in doing that, what we do is apply that trusted advisory role to executive coaching and cultural design, change implementation. We do a lot of succession planning and pre-employment selection. And it really is a difference, I think, of us being trusted advisors with our clients more than experts for hire or consultants. I think there's a real difference, and we try and build those relationships where we're trusted advisors with our clients.
How does a corporation know that about you guys, and how do they know they need you? Like, what's their pain that they're feeling that they would engage with you?
That's a good question, and again, I think that differentiates what we were just talking about is, well, people find out, most of us, I think in the trusted advisory role, I think part of that relationship is that we get referred from clients. They'll run into somebody else in a different industry and say, you know, I know these guys, and they really have great insight. They mine great insight, right? And so it's a lot of it's referral. But I think a lot of executives and I think a lot of companies, they know their pain. They may see it as one specific thing and then not realize it may be broader. I think that's sort of what we mine to do, is to get that big picture. And then they go about looking for solutions for that. And I think there's two paths that you can go. You can very often go and find a commodity, which is a consultant that has a specific skill that they bring to the table, right? Usually, you know, the company will look for that individual based on competitive pricing, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. And then they could, you know, and then they meet us and the principles that we have in our firm, and we are focused on absolute success of that client, whether it's with us or not. The idea is to have them have success. And I think that if we come from a trusted advisory role, they look to us for fresh ideas and fresh concepts and ideas, and then look to us in the future, not just a one-time, one-shot sort of help us with this problem situation. Does that make sense?
It does. You mentioned a little bit ago about some assessment tools. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, and we do have a real, you know, psychological background, sort of, I call it corporate psychology aspect to our firm. And we've got two really interesting tools. The primary tool, it's called the ACL. And the ACL was actually a psychological assessment developed in 1948. It's real short. It's real easy to take, about 10 minutes. But what we have, and it's basically the software is part of our firm. So we're the only firm that really has software that can generate reports from this. And the ACL, it's called the adjective checklist. And it allows us to get we'd call it like a C-level assessment. It's very granular in the information that it gives us, very detailed. And we can get leadership reports. We can get personality reports. And actually, we can even get clinical results that are based on the diagnostic manual for psychology. Of course, we don't share that with clients, but we can do that if we want to. So it's a real diverse tool that we use for leadership development, individual mm-hmm. coaching. We use it for benchmarking mm-hmm. Companies to find out what do your high performers look like. And therefore, we can create a target and hopefully help you find other high performers so that you're not always going through the cycle of having not goodness of fit with people that you're hiring.
Now, when you're working with a company and they're looking for leaders within their company, is it something that once you've identified people that have certain leadership, I guess, qualities, is that easier, or is it easier to train anybody into being a leader?
That's a great question, Lee. I think it's a combination of both. I think that in companies, you know, when we go in, we can learn about the culture. Obviously, that's going to give you a tool to help identify leaders. We work from a particular theory of leadership, based on emotional intelligence, if you've ever mm-hmm. read any Daniel Goleman's work. And it's really based on also a guy named Champy's research on that in order to be an effective leader, you've got to have a high attraction of your followers. Mm-hmm. In other words, you've got to be able to understand their concerns and be aware of the concerns of the people that you're leading and be mm-hmm. responsive to that. So that's sort of our model. But, you know, I'm a big believer – I just wrote an article recently, you know, are leaders born or are they grown? And I'm a real big believer that we can grow leadership within organizations. I think it's a process that a lot of companies don't do enough of.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know that there's attention to it. It also may be the fact that the
ROI isn't good enough, or
yeah,
there's not a good enough system to do that.
I think it's both. I think it's a system. I think it's one too. I think you talk about succession planning. I think it's a failure of a lot of organizations to really plan for the succession of their future.
Right. In execution, once you have the evaluations from the ACL or a Berkman type of test, it's a lot of data, and then a lot of people don't know what to do with it. What do you do with it? So, are you familiar? How do you feel about the Berkman?
Oh, Berkman, yeah, good. That is another tool that we use, and I like to use them in concert.
Mm-hmm.
The Berkman is a great tool that gives you sort of a broader brushstroke of what that individual is. I like it because it also gives you an indicator of how that person is going to respond under stress
and how they like to be managed, how they might manage.
Absolutely, yeah. And the ACL we use is the support to that, because the ACL is much more granular, detailed than the Berkman. So together, I also like the Berkman when we do teamwork.
Right.
It's a great tool. Its graphics are real good. If we're going to look at the dynamics of the team, if you really want to understand your team, how to lead them, all those kind of things. But back to your question, Lee, I think is it an inattention to the growth of leadership? It may be the principles that a company has. A lot of it's investing in growing the leaders. But it's going to change, because we're undergoing a change in our country, the age wave. Baby boomers are leaving, and they're taking with them lots of leadership and lots of experience, and they're leaving in droves. I think 10% of top executives in this country are going to be leaving the market. Actually, it's larger. I think it's 40% in the next 10 years. And what's happening is companies are losing a lot of leadership. And if they don't begin to cultivate it, grow it, and develop it within their company, they're going to be in sharp competition to get those top leaders to take over that role in their companies as we go down the road.
How has the internet and the virtual workforce impacted this kind of leadership, growing leaders, and even leadership of a company when your people aren't always in the same building? Whereas before, you would have the proximity with the people that you were working with. Now they could be all over the world.
Yeah, and I think, that is the essence of the theory of emotional intelligence, is that really that to be an emotionally intelligent leader, EQ, not IQ, emotional quotient, right? You have to be very diversified in your skills of communication, interaction, getting your message across, and leading, because you're right. The old model of corporate design is, everybody was pretty much entrenched in one building. It wasn't as diversified. Now, if you're going to be a successful company, you have to be flexible.
Right.
You have to move quickly. You have to deal with several different cultures and several different time zones. If you're not adaptive, and as a leader, if you can't speak to all those levels and address your strategy in a varied sense, you're gonna suffer in today's market. So the internet and that global economy is really the crux of the need, I believe, to have emotionally intelligent leaders in place. Absolutely.
I mean, you talk about leaders and teamwork. It sounds like there's a bridge, that needs to be crossed to really have a cohesive team. What are some of the non-negotiables when you talk about teamwork?
The non-negotiables. I think that communication is a non-negotiable. And be honest with you, trust. Trust is an absolute non-negotiable. I think that trust is kind of the foundation that builds effective team leadership. Because if there's not trust, well, then you miss the second level, which is, I think, is healthy conflict. I think nowadays, and I think, Lee, you talk about the diversity of businesses. In a lot of cultures in organizations, there's not healthy conflict, and I'm a big advocate of that. I think if we can engage in conflict, it builds that trust, which then follows up on accountability. If I can confront you on issues healthfully and help you understand things, or vice versa, if we can throw things on the table and wrestle with it, it's sort of like working out, right? If we have healthy conflict, it's going to hurt the next day. My muscles may hurt a little bit, but in time they'll become stronger. And I think it's that healthy conflict that leads to accountability. which is harder to do in diverse organizations. But then when you have that, you've got a greater commitment, and ultimately the bottom line for everybody is results. And I think those are sort of the pyramid of things that are absolute non-negotiables.
When you're dealing with corporations, do you find some cultures are very, like, everybody's trying to cover their butt more and trying to politic? And how do you get past that when you're, you know, if the culture is kind of dysfunctional?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And I do have a client right now where that's the issue. You know, it's a global client, global organization, and I'm working with the North American region. And that exists. I think, you know, to highlight what you're saying is, you know, when I walked into that room initially to sit in meetings, I see a bunch of executives that are nodding politely and, you
right.
know, contributing mm-hmm. and da-da-da-da. But I walk out in the hall with them, and they're saying a different message.
Right.
You know, I wasn't convinced at all, and in case it's true, that they were carrying that message out or following through
right.
with what they did. And part of it is there's a high degree of sort of paranoia and fear that has, you know, that permeates the culture.
But then when you have that environment, isn't it impossible to have the healthy conflict?
Right. That's it. And, you know, what the key is for that is really getting them to open up. And you know, honestly, this sounds sort of psychological. It's about vulnerability. They felt vulnerable if they said anything. You know, the Japanese often say that the tallest nail will get hammered down. A lot of corporations sort of act that way, that if I speak up too much, I may put my job at risk. But they got to be vulnerable. So, you know, when you talk about the tools, Amy, those tools can make people very vulnerable. You know, when I talk about the ACL, and you looked at an ACL, maybe we should do one someday, Amy. It's fun.
I think mine might be torn right now.
Yeah.
Can you help me with that?
Yeah. It is, it's a vulnerable process. So you have to get people to begin at the basics about sharing about themselves. And really, you know, if you start doing group, you know, Berkmans and group ACLs, it opens that vulnerability a little bit. And mm-hmm. if you can then tap into that vulnerability, then they can begin to trust a little bit more. Then they can begin to have conflict. And then there's accountability and commitment and all those mm-hmm. things that really are non-negotiables, like you said.
Do you think it's possible to really implement this kind of thing in like a huge company where there's so many layers of bureaucracy? Because like each group could have their own, you know, some overall the CEO might say, yeah, I buy in. This is really what I believe. But it just doesn't trickle down to managers, you know, in different regions where maybe they don't want to be vulnerable. You know, they're just concerned about making it to their pension year, and they don't want to get fired.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Good point. You know, however, I think that success breeds success. And I think that if we can successfully go in and build those dynamics that we're talking about, it's interesting, you know, in this one client that I was speaking about, you know, we're working with the North American region, but you're right, Lee, there's a whole culture of this.
And a history of mistrust
that they can't erase because
they just bring in somebody that says, hey, you should now trust us because this time we're going to really, we won't, you know.
Right.
Fire you,
yeah,
or reorg you.
Yep, and what I find is if we can build it within, let's say in this example, the North American region, and they can begin to find success, and all honestly, they haven't had much in the last several years. It's why we're there.
Mm-hmm.
Success breeds success, and again, I think that's the difference between a trusted advisory versus a consultant, because if we're doing our job at Trove,
mm-hmm.
We will help them find success. And then get the opportunity to work on a broader scale within
right.
the organization.
Is that typically what you do? You go into maybe a region and then prove kind of the model and then roll it out into throughout the company?
That's one path. I think that we often are introduced to the company through upper-level mm-hmm. executive, those levels anyway. So once there's sort of buy-in and we work on a project, and you know it's interesting because there's always – there's never really 100% buy-in, right? There's that discovery process. This is a discovery process that we go through, too, to see if
right.
there's a goodness of fit. Because, you know, in all honesty, we might not have the best solution.
And each individual situation is probably unique in and of itself. How can people contact you? What's the best way? Your website, I think, is a wealth of information, and I have a couple questions related to that. But what's the best way for someone to contact you?
The best way to contact is through email. You can email me. which is C. Cummins, C-C-U-M-M-I-N-S, at TroveInc.com, or you can call our firm, and our number and that contact information is on the website.
Excellent. So on the website, it mentioned that everyone needs a superhero. Tell me about that.
Everyone needs a superhero. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a principal in our firm. His name is Rick Forbus, and he is our leadership and training guru. He loves to write curriculum. He puts together a lot of our programs, and Everybody Needs a Superhero is really is one of his presentations, one of his workshops that he does. And it's really based on the principle. I love one aspect of watching it. He talks about every, and it's a leadership context, that we all have a defining moment in our life. Right. Mm-hmm. On a blog that I write, I just wrote a blog about really about our governor here in Georgia and how opportunities often make the leader. And in all honesty and all fairness to our governor, you know, I think he's missing an opportunity here with the drought and the water situation. And I think it's those situations sometimes that really make the leadership, you know. Situational leadership is of great importance. And so he talks about how every superhero has had that moment, you know. Spider-Man mm-hmm. has had that moment where he realizes he can use these powers for good, you know. Superman has those moments. Batman, I think the ultimate moment was really the loss of his parents, mm-hmm. Which really defined who he was and how he was going to lead and how he was going to, you know, structure his life. So being a superhero is about, you know, those moments where we can really rise to the role of leadership, or we might fail.
Interesting. If you haven't visited the website, you really must do so. It's got a lot of different aspects. It's a wealth of knowledge, and definitely I learned a lot. Down on a more personal level, what do you do for fun? I mean, anything drive you when you're not constantly thinking? With your psychological background, I think your mind needs a rest every now and then. What do you do for fun?
Yeah, it's interesting. Really, you're right. In doing what we do, it can be very personal, you know. It's interesting when we talk about that transition of the couch to the boardroom.
Mm-hmm.
You sit down with a bunch of CEOs, and really I find a bunch of human beings sit down.
Right.
We cannot help but cross over as a trusted advisory into that personal realm of people's mm-hmm. lives. And back when I was doing clinical work, it could be exhausting. And you're right. If you don't take care of yourself, if I'm not taking care of myself, I'm of no use to anybody else.
Right.
And I've got a lot of things that I do. I'm kind of an adrenaline junkie,
mm-hmm.
Have been throughout my adulthood. I found that adrenaline really kind of helps me balance things out. I was an avid skydiver up until about 2 years ago, where I had a great accident 2.5 miles mm-hmm. up in the air.
Yikes.
That left me without an arm functionally in mid skydive. So that took care of my skydiving once I healed, right?
Wow.
And there's a great story there. And then I'm a martial artist. I've practiced martial arts for 25 years. And I incorporate a lot of sort of martial arts, you know. I think it's important for us to keep our sword sharp every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Eastern philosophy into a lot of the psychology and motivational approaches that I use in my work. And since I can't skydive anymore, I've taken up road biking, which I did when I was younger. Again, you know, I lost that avenue of adrenaline from skydiving. I had to replace it with something else. So I've been out there road biking, and hopefully it can help me trim off some of this extra baggage that I have a little bit. But it's fun. And you know, road biking in Atlanta takes a lot of adrenaline. It's dangerous out there.
Yes, it is, especially when you have drivers like me on the road.
Yes, good. I'll keep that in mind.
Wonderful. Well, gosh, Charlie, thank you so much for your time today and for being our guest on the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I encourage everyone to hit the website, contact Charlie, learn more about him. We could probably spend a couple hours here, Lee, but we'd love for people to contact Charlie and talk a little bit more about his business. Thank you for being our guest.
His website is TroveInc.com.
Yes.
And actually, could you I don't have the phone number in front of me. What's our phone number?
What is your phone number?
I need
number?
To check that. 404-459-2390.
Excellent.
If there's anything I can do.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being our guest.
Yeah, thank you for your time. Thanks, Lee.
Hopefully you're not going to do anything really risky before you leave the station. You know, like try to swallow the microphone and pull it out your ear or anything.
No, yeah. I think this is a good risk for the day.
Have a wonderful day, and thanks for listening.
Thanks, you too.